of the five principles of being a healthy church. Broader through ministry. We'll come to the scriptures in just a while, so don't think I'm going to ignore that. And I want to say that as I begin today's teaching, of the five, I think this is our weakest. This is our weakest. Ministry is our weakest. When I came to WBC 12 years ago, we were running a series of vision days here to sense the way forward. And they were good sessions. We spent a number of weeks in our church hall looking at what we dream of and what would be God's vision for WBC. We spent quality times dreaming together of what might be. And then someone jumped up towards the end of the day, and I won't name names, it would be awful to do that, and they said, "You know, we've seen all this at South Street Baptist Church before. The minister was energetic for 2 years and then collapsed in a pile. Is it really worth pushing the church forward, replanting the church just to do that?" Ouch. And you know, over the 12 years, I've rolled the statement continuously round my mind. It's been one of those memorable moments where you take something that was said. It's hung with me every year. One of the key statements coming through, you know this from things that you get taught in your work, is what is the statement behind the statement? One of the key statements coming through to me was, "Your ideas are fine. Actually, they're kind of big and fine. But don't expect us to do it. You're going to do it. And if you do it, you'll be exhausted in 2 years' time." And I kind of wonder whether there was one of those scorecards somewhere in a handbag. We've managed to kill off the last four pastors, who also probably dreamt of change. And this one will go the same way. I'll put money on it. In fact, I'll put next week's offering on it. Well, 12 years on, I've hit middle age, just like some of you. And I'm showing signs of forgetfulness. Sorry, where are we? And my wife tells me that I'm still managed to hold off grey hairs. She might disagree with that afterwards. But middle age has landed like a depressing turkey. And yes, I feel, well, I'm not going to tell you. No, I feel I will. As your pastor, I feel tired. But then I also see our fantastic administrator, Karen. And she's tired too. And you know, in our regular Monday prayer times that we have between Chris and Karen and myself, our wonderful youth worker too, Chris, he's a bit tired too. And I wonder why. And I wonder what's going on. Just as a side, about 6 years ago, and I just put this anecdote in before we get to the scripture, we went on a church weekend away, I think up on Dartmoor, and we reviewed our vision. And we had decided that we would go for this weekend away to do that specific duty. And we decided there on that church weekend that we all needed a bit of a break, a rest. So we decided that we would stop the church for a time. And do you know what we discovered? It was impossible to stop the church. We could not stop for a rest. WBC. It just couldn't happen because there were some people who said, we have to keep doing this. We've come here this morning for a service. We want a service. And others said, we've got a program and we're sticking to the program. And when I come to ask our fantastic leadership team of elders and deacons, and got to be honest, some of them are tired too. Are tired and challenged from other things. And probably all put together, deacons, administrator, youth worker, elders and pastor, we've all done the stuff. We all clean the toilets. We hoover, we dust, we mend, we move chairs, we open up for rentals. And I wonder. One of the big debates that churches have to face is whether they have a building or not. Does the church need a building? After all, theologically, we are the people of the Bible, and the Bible makes very clear statements. God does not dwell in temples built by human hands. You know that one, that's in the book of Acts, I think. So we say that the people are the church. We are the people, our skin and stuff and who we are. We are the church, not the bricks and the mortar. So here's a proposal. Wouldn't it be great to get rid of our building? Then we wouldn't have to mend things. We wouldn't have to clean. We wouldn't have to put chairs out. And I did them all on Friday, by the way. We wouldn't have to arrange rotors. Not so sure about that one, actually. Think about it for a moment. Think of how much of our time is given to us doing something to the building. Is it 60%? Is it 30%? Is it 75% of our time? Is having a building biblical? If we didn't have a building, think what we could do with the time and the money and the energy. Someone once said that church is often like a game of football. 22 players on the pitch running wildly in different directions whilst thousands sit on the sidelines cheering on. You know, I have in over 20 years of ministry had the opportunity to see church from both ends. I actually feel that's actually quite a privilege, I think. In our first church, and Amanda's here and she shared in that, and so did Martin, we had no building. I was the first pastor of that church. It was a church plant and we met in a school. Actually, we met in, first of all, in the very first turn, we met in a classroom. It wasn't much bigger than your average classroom. And then we met in a sports hall, because I couldn't deal with the fact it was a classroom. It just, tables and chairs had to be stacked and chairs had to be put out and so forth. So we went to a sports hall, which was great, except that there was that horrible, funny yellow lighting in sports halls that they do. And also, it had a little bit of a reverb, so it didn't quite work. And then, after about 6 or 7 years, we went into a school hall, the same school. I want to say to you, in case you think I have suddenly taken on a challenge that we flog this place, let me smash your dreams. Because we used to head down to the school every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. We used to set out all the chairs. We used to lay out all the cabling for the PA and the AV. That's not the AV of the Bible, by the way. That's the projection. And we used to set out the children's ministry. We used to set out the coffee bar. We used to set out the important Christ blanket. And it all happened. And do you know what I discovered? By 10 a.m., the setup team were exhausted. They were sweaty, and the one thing that they were not ready to do was sit through a church service and to worship God. So having just set up the church, it didn't really help them. So you know what we did? We decided we'd set up at 5 o'clock on the Saturday. Oh, that caused all kinds of problems. Because we all went out for family trips on Saturdays. Can't be back in time for 5 o'clock. But we did, and it sort of worked after a fashion. But the other downside is, whatever was up on the school hall sides that particular Sunday, you had to go with. So we used to worship for loads of times, surrounded by Halloween posters. I had some really peculiar people who used to feel it was their thing that they used to march around the school hall several times, praying in tongues against the Halloween posters. Well, anyway. You know, our rentals were really costly. Sure, we had no maintenance, but we were tucked out of the way. The school was out on the edge. And no one gets married in school. Who on earth would choose that? And certainly no one wants to be buried in a school. So that kind of church was costly too, and challenging. It probably pushed my back out for the first time. I remember lifting the overhead projector up onto the stage on a heavy table, and out went my back, I slipped a disc. And the point of sharing both of those pictures is that both kinds of church are costly. There are no easy answers. And I want to ask the question as we come to the Bible, are we after an easy option then? The spirit of the day is consumerism. It is I church. The church is all about me. And church exists for my comfort, not for my efforts. So long as I'm not challenged, so long as I'm not asked to change or asked to do anything in the church, that'll be just fine. That's what I want. That's what church should be like. Non-challenging, comfortable. And the minute any of those foundations are challenged, beware. Do we want church that easy? Or are we prepared to protect the freedoms of these people who gave every piece of their energy around this worship centre? What's the core issue here? Well, remember, this place, stuck in the very centre of town, is in fact a mission centre. It's a mission opportunity, and the founders of this church knew what they were doing when they established the church here. Hundreds of churches actually would die for such a site. And this is not a decaying hospital. It's a factory for the reaching and the discipling of the lost. But the dilemma is that even the factory has to be run and maintained. And the honest truth is that over the years as pastor, we still haven't broken free from the fact that our rentals keep us afloat, not the giving. Well, I've no easy answers for you this morning. And of course, there's an argument here for whether we are doing too much as a church. Are we doing too much? Perhaps we should do nothing. But I ask you to come with me on a journey. Turn with me, please, to your Ephesians chapter 4 scripture. I could hear people thinking, is this ever going to come from the Bible? Well, it is. Ephesians chapter 4 is that section of scripture where Paul talks about the church structure. This is verse 7 of chapter 4. We'll go down to 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So I want to ask you a question, really, which is, are we into this kind of church? The sofa church with remotes where we can all choose what we want? Or are we into every member ministry? The core of this scripture that we've just read together is absolutely vital. It's not easy to tease out, and the consequences of verses 11 and 12 are key. Look at it again. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. There they are. What is their function? It is to prepare God's people for works of service to build up the body of Christ. Now that's an obvious statement if you look at that carefully. These are offices and they are there to prepare God's people. Now the reality may be somewhat different. So let us think about every member ministry. Some churches, you might find it, we shall see it tomorrow when we go to Tim, the new vicar's licensing at the parish church. Some churches still use the phrases of clergy and laity. And those of us who've been invited have had long pages of instructions that the clergy have to line up here and the laity have to line up over there. So we go with the flow. I want to shout, I don't understand what you're saying. I'll go with the flow, but I don't understand. Clergy and laity is not in my dictionary. I don't see it in the Bible. What are you talking about? And in churches with hierarchy struggle with this. But let's not get caught up in their dilemmas. That's their stuff to do. We have our own. It is our natural inclination, because we're Bible-believing Christians, to therefore recognize the broad gifting of all. I'm not doing a dance routine here. I'm saying you all. So, as we look at Ephesians 4, and indeed as we look at Corinthians 12, we see a completely different concept of church. And I see the model of leadership laid out, apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and I see the structure of church ministry as being dependent upon the whole body. And that's the way. That, by the way, does not mean democracy. It means theocracy. It means that in the church, God rules. And so we still set aside those kind of leaders. But the key here is that you are a minister. I am not the minister. I am the pastor. Now you say, what's in a word? Well, it is vital that you understand that you are equipped and geared to minister to everything. And as we get ministry right, so the church will grow. But if we don't get ministry right, and we haven't up to now, we will not grow in size. Check out these for a minute and read them through with me. These are the five bases of healthy church. We're going to cover these over the next few months. Read them through with me. Broader through ministry, larger through evangelism, warmer through fellowship, deeper through discipleship, stronger through worship. And the church will grow and go forward in the things of God if it revolves around every member ministry. We're not just about building churches that are all dependent upon the energy and the vision of the minister. That cannot and will never function. It will only ever work if you guys, as the ministers of the church, are empowered and enabled to do the ministry. I always remember my first student pastorship when I was at Spurgeon's in London, and I was assigned to a church in East Sheen near Twickers, where the pastor, actually he was my former headmaster, but that's another story, I haven't got time to tell you about it now. The pastor said to me, "It is my role," his role, "to do myself out of a job. Because if the enabling and equipping of people in his church, members in his church, to be the ministers happens effectively, then ultimately his job becomes finished." Well, in these 12 years of being a pastor, you know, I've always taken the personal view that I can never ask anyone to do what I've never done. I think that's a key principle of leadership. So, yes, I have cleaned the toilets, I have vacuumed up, I have moved chairs, and I continue to move chairs, I paint walls, I repair plumbing, I mend windows up ladders as vandals throw things through hall windows, I pick up rubbish off the lawn of the same aforementioned people, I mow the grass occasionally when John's too poorly to cut the grass. I have to do it, so I cut the grass just to do that, so bless him for doing that. I put the bins out occasionally, I mop the floor occasionally, I dust the worship centre, I crawl under this wonderful, horrible floor, to name but a few. So let us think about what we should be doing, because every member ministry is biblical. Turn with me for a minute in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in this section, Paul likens the church as the body. Here we go. Verse 12, chapter 12. "The body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though it's all its parts are many, they form one body." Get the language. "So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given one spirit to drink." I'm going to just jump to verse 14b. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Now, if you take a look at that imagery, and it is a powerful imagery, because believe it or not, you are the body. You've only got to use your body, your own body, to demonstrate that. But if you multiply that around the body of the church, you will quickly see how Paul uses a very tangible sense of pictures for us. The body is one. It's made up of many parts, though. And the body needs each of the parts. Verse 24. In other words, you are needed. Now, you may want to argue that in your own personal situation, one member of my family may have had a small toe amputated. Well, and they're quite happy with it. Well, good for them. But if that was to happen to the church, if we start cutting limbs off in the church, the body soon limps around disabled. But God's design for the body is therefore perfect. And therefore the design for ministry in the church is that members of the body are the members, are the ministers, and the pastor is the enabler of those members. But I have two problems. These are the problems we faced. We get ourselves into an awful muddle in this country. We have members in our churches so caught up in quantities of meetings that we never get opportunity to do ministry and mission. Think about it. How many meetings do you go to? Is it two a week? One a week? Is it zero meetings? If you are forever going to meetings, when do you do the sharing of your faith? Now, some of us cringe and die under meetings. The second problem I have is that I see so many occasions in church life where the wrong messages are sent out to churches. We need help. We stand up on the platform every week and we say, we need help. We desperately need someone to do this, that, or the other. We do need that help, but often that response may well be a reluctant response without any test of skill or gifting. And sooner rather than later, if someone is an ear working in a foot ministry, that could go so badly wrong for them. And either they get frustrated, either they get overworked, or some situation finds them out that they're just not the right person. And the model I've seen in elsewhere in the world, which in so many respects looks at this biblical one, is that the church has a staff. There is administration, there is paperwork, there is communication. All that is done by skilled people. And churches either set aside people employed for that, or they begin to see their volunteers from within their congregation who've got a series of giftings in a certain area, and that goes into being sort of semi-paid, and then it becomes on staff, and gradually those members become added to a team of staff. I don't know about you, but I hate to drive along streets where church buildings are closed. Do you do that all the time? And yet, when people walk past WBC, I wonder what they see. We've noticed that every time people walk past this door, they always look in it. I wonder why. So we put all the publicity in that door if people want to get noticed about something. But people do stop because this is a vibrant building. And that's what we should be giving off to our communities. When we get this right, we become healthy and become broader through ministry. And then I want to just come into some detail here. Every member ministry involves getting the right people into the right ministry. So here you are this morning and you're thinking, so where do I fit into this? I want to do something. Well, one of the challenges that we face is that many other churches, if we're doing the wrong ministries, then we need to reassign ourselves. The foot is in the wrong place, or the finger's in the mouth, or something like that. It's topsy-turvy. So we look at this thing called shape, which is spiritual gifts, heart, attitude, personality, and experiences. God has given to you a unique shape. Yes, to you and to you. But it's down to us to find that out. And when we all come together and we are in the right places and we're ministering well, then this works. So we need to sit down and say, so what are your spiritual gifts? We need to stop and say, when you get up in the morning, what does your heart say that you want to do? what is it? What is the passion running there that says, I am geared or equipped to do this? Because often, if we don't do that, we can do something that will kill off our heart's ambition. What is our attitude? We need to make sure we have the right attitude as we come to serve, that we are genuinely taking on the role of a servant. What is your personality? Are you an evangelist personality? Or are you a pastoral person? We then put the two in those different camps. Because often we'll find that the evangelist in the pastoral situation, oh, you know what I'm going to say. So we look at personality profiles. And then we finally look at our experiences. You know, the truth is we have all been through hurtful and painful situations. And Romans reminds us, all things work together. You know this verse. For the good, for those who trust and have been called according to his purposes. So I want to say to you that what painful situation can you lay before God and say, I will use this as part of my shape. Turn it from being a negativity into a positive situation where actually you're able to share your pain. And you will rapidly find that there are people who say, oh, thank goodness you've shared with me, because I thought it was just me. Find out your shape. Finally, penultimately, you know, one of the best pieces of words of wisdom for finding where you fit in the body of Christ is to try some things. Try some things, and we would train you in things. You know, we would show you how. You know, the worst case scenario is you've kindly agreed to help out with the children. Oh, thank you very much. Here's the group. See you later. There can be nothing worse than that. So we want to enable and train and say, do you have the right kind of gifts and the right kind of outlook? Every member ministry requires careful selection of what ministries are for this church now. I want to conclude by asking you this question. Every church cannot do everything. I've been struck over the past few months just how busy a church we are. And I've been questioning whether at this particular time we should be trying to do everything. And if I'm truly honest, we can see in situations that there are people burning out. And burnout leads to discouragement. And burnout leads to loss of vision. And doing so much, and in particular doing the things that God hasn't designed us to do, or indeed equipped us to do, in the end it creates kind of family tension, church family tension. So as a church, we may need to make some decisions about what we're committed to and what we should not be committed to, because ultimately we can't do everything. And you know, a lot of us, all of us, are human beings, not human doings. That's a key part of being church. And ultimately, we might just need to come here sometimes because we need the support of others. And because we need restoration and healing. So as much as we want to find where we need to serve, sometimes we just need to come here and recharge our batteries because we're tired. I said to you I had no easy answers, but I hope I've laid the challenges out to you. And if I've upset you, I'm very sorry about that, but sometimes we need to say what it needs to be said. So God bless you as we journey together through being broader in ministry. Amen.